If you have a Bible, you can go to the book of Ephesians. If you don't, that's okay. You can listen. Ephesians chapter 6. Depending on your opinion towards God and towards the Bible, you may or may not, you know, have a great life. That's just the truth. A lot of people don't believe that this book, the Bible, is God's word. A lot of people think that it may be a good book for advice, a good book for devotions. It may be a good book for common sense, practical solutions to different things. And it is all of the above, but this is God's word. It's the God-breathed word. He gave us this book, and he took a lot of effort, and a lot of men and a lot of women gave their lives. They were tortured. They were burned at the stake. They were beheaded. Their families were tortured. Their families were burned. Their children were tortured in front of them so that we could have this book. This is not just the Bible. This is God's word. This is his heart. And anyone who reads this with the heart of God and presents it to you, it would be as if God himself was speaking. Because you can't get any closer to God than his word or the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read scripture, depending how you hear the scripture and then choose to assimilate and act upon it, will be all the difference between failure or success in your life. Okay? If you think that, oh, that's just a bunch of hogwash, you know what? God's loved you so much that he's given you free will to allow you to have that thought. You're allowed to believe that. But I would ask you this. If things haven't been working out your way, then maybe, just maybe, you would like to consider the possibility that Almighty God is just a tinge smarter and would have just a better handle on how things should be working out for you in your life. Okay? And I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just asking you, maybe the possibility exists that God's got a different way, and maybe it's just a little bit better than your way. Now, if your way has been perfect, and you're happy, and you're healthy, and you got nothing, then I'll give you God's phone number, and you can call him, and maybe he'll take some advice from you. But if that's not the case, then perhaps when you hear the word that I'm going to read to you this morning, I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, I have the King James Version. I'm going to read to you first in verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." None of those things do you want to place on your resume when you want to go to get a job, right? Wickedness, spiritual darkness, this sort of thing. Somebody looks at that, they're not going to give you a job. They're bad things. And the word says that it's not, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but our fight is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We heard in manifestations today about the darkness of this world, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The problem has been with people is that the rulers of the darkness of this world are invisible. First of all, they're completely invisible to the natural man. The natural man is a man who doesn't have the Spirit of God. The natural man is an individual man or woman who cannot see spiritual things because they don't have spiritual eyes to see that. Bible says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. It's impossible for him to know them. Why? Because it's spiritually what? Discerned. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to spiritually discern them. So you're really in a bad place when you get born, because everybody's born natural. You're in a place that you can't know what's going on. You don't have the ability to know what's going on. Look, in order to live in the sea, unless anybody here thinks they're SpongeBob, you got to have gills, right, under the sea. You're not going to last long under the sea without gills as a human being, right, without some type of breathing apparatus. Because you can't do that. It's impossible. You were not designed that way. Okay? It's the same thing with the natural man. He cannot know the things of God. He doesn't have what he needs to know God. And God realized this. But God didn't leave man in an unredeemable state. He bridged that gap. He made a bridge by faith of Jesus Christ to be able to reach down to man so that God could reconcile man back to himself and save mankind. We heard about the saving grace and mercy from everlasting to everlasting, the manifestations too. Okay? So when a person's born, he's born in a bad state. But God, because he's all love and he's infinite and wisdom and grace and mercy, he reaches down and he makes it available for that person to change stateship, to change sonship. And he does that by Jesus Christ. Most of the world do not realize that we are in a war, that there is a battle going on. And here the Word of God says there's a battle going on, but the battle is not against flesh and blood. If it was a battle against flesh and blood, I could take a weapon. I could take a force multiplier. And I could go out and I could fight the battle that way. I could use a hand grenade. I could use a rocket. I could use a rifle. See? And I could fight that type of battle. But that's not the kind of battle that's going on. See? You have to have the weapons in order to fight the battle. And the battle that we're fighting against is not against flesh and blood. If it was against flesh and blood, a weapon, a rifle would work just fine. But how do you fight against a principality? You can't shoot a principality, not a spiritual principality. How do you fight against powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world? You don't even know who the rulers of the darkness of this world are for the most part. Go out today and do an interview on the street. Hey, who's the rulers of the darkness of this world? And how many times do you think you're going to get the correct answer to that? And if you get the correct answer, where are they going to cite? What are they going to cite as their authority for the correct answer? Well, this is what I think. It says, we fight against spiritual wickedness. How are you going to recognize spiritual wickedness? How are you going to fight against spiritual wickedness with a 45 or a 9mm or a hand grenade? You can't. It's a spiritual battle. And if it's a spiritual battle, you have to wage war. You have to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual implements, spiritual weapons. Now, that's just common sense. You understand? You fight a physical battle with physical weapons, literal weapons. You fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. The New Revised Standard, which is another translation of the Bible, translates verse 12, for our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood. And they accurately depict them as enemies. They're enemies. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now see, that gets it a little bit closer to the reality of where our struggle is and who it's against. It's against an enemy. Some authorities translate "for our struggle." King James says, "for we wrestle." Some texts read, "for your struggle." See? It makes it real personal. "For your struggle is not against flesh and blood." Now, how much is that worth? If I was a therapist, you should be throwing $1,000 bills at me right now. Because if the Bible's true, and if you've been struggling, and you haven't been able to get a handle on life, you haven't been able to beat what's beating you, perhaps you're fighting against something that you have no idea what you're fighting against. Perhaps you're attempting and attacking something in a flesh and blood situation, and it should be addressed in a spiritual situation. See, look, yesterday we're knocking down a set of steps, okay? That wasn't a spiritual situation in the context of what I'm teaching. You know what we needed? We needed a hammer. Then we got a maul. That's a big-ass sledgehammer with an axe on the front of it. Then we got a screwdriver. Then we got a wrench. That's what we needed. Because we wanted to knock it down and accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. That's good. If you're dealing with a set of steps that you want to break down. But if you take the hammer and the maul and the screwdriver and the 9/16 wrench and apply it to a spiritual problem, you're not going to address the spiritual problem with those kind of tools. You have to change tools. You understand? You have to change tools. If you've been trying to address your problems in life with this, with your brain, with your programs, with your advice from whoever, and it's not working, perhaps you're using the wrong tools to address your problem. Now, if the therapist is working and your brain is working and your programs are working, God bless you. And continue in that vein. But if after 1, 2, 10, 20, 30 years, it's not working, you would think that you would have enough common sense to say, well, maybe there's a different approach to what I'm doing. And maybe, just maybe, God has the answer. Now, that's logical, isn't it? And if God doesn't work for you, then at least you tried. Murdoch's translation of Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our conflict is not with flesh and blood." It's not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with those in authority, with the possessors of this dark world. Listen to the rest of the translation. "And with the evil spirits that are beneath heaven." That's a good translation. He gets real, real close to the truth. As a matter of fact, he names it. Our problem, our fight, is not with flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? People. Senses, people, right? Who has flesh and blood? People. You know what that means? He's telling us our conflict isn't with people. It's not with your mother. It's not with your girlfriend. It's not with your boyfriend. It's not with your father. Parents, right? Ask children, what's their problem? It's the parents' fault. No, it's not. That's what the Bible says. You kids can't blame us anymore. You understand? It's not our fault. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with people. If you have a people problem, it's one thing. But if the problem is reoccurring, The problem's persistent. The problem is tormenting. The problem is stealing your rest and your peace. Then you better be looking in a different direction, in a different area for the source of your problem. Okay? It's not a people problem. It's not with flesh and blood. If the Bible says our conflict is not with people, then if you continue to fix your conflict by fixing yourself and fixing the people around you, you'll never get an answer to the problem. The problem will elude you for the rest of your life, because you'll be blaming all these people, you'll be blaming yourself, and then you'll be trying to fix all these people, you'll be trying to fix yourself, and the problem's still there, because the problem is invisible. And the problem is invisible by design. It's invisible by design. And the only way that you can gain knowledge about this invisible enemy, this invisible problem, is by the Bible. It's the only way. Look at Genesis chapter 3. That's the first book of the Bible. Genesis 3. Verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he," the serpent, "said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die." Verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely" what? Okay, so here in Genesis 3, we note the presence of an enemy. The enemy is called by the name serpent. Serpent, okay? Everybody hear the story about Adam and Eve and the devil in the garden, and sometimes it's an apple, sometimes it's a Chiquita banana, whatever. Eat the fruit. Did anybody not hear that story in their life? No, seriously, if you haven't, raise your hand. Everybody pretty much heard that story, right? Here's my question. Do you believe that story? No, really. Did you ever stop to, but do you believe the story? Do you believe that there was a serpent in the garden and he messed up things for Adam and Eve? Do you believe that? Okay? Now, you got no problem. Everybody said, I believe it. Let me ask you this. Does the possibility exist that that guy is still around today messing up things for people today? But when you start to talk about a devil, a serpent, an adversary, a dragon, a demon, evil spirits, unclean spirits, foul spirits today, you know, people, they look at you like this. Oh, he's crazy. The same person who just got done telling me, I believe that the serpent was in the garden and he screwed up things in the beginning, will tell you, oh, there's no devil. He's not around today. That's just fictitious. That's just a figure of speech. Well, do you believe in the record of the garden or don't you believe? You make up your own mind. They have a psychological word for people like that. So, my given name is Nicholas Albert Catania. Has anybody here ever heard anybody call me Nicholas Albert Catania?
No.
If when you were at my house and I was younger and my mother would use that name, you know what that means? That ain't good. They love you. They confirm you. They have a big party. Oh, there's going to be Nicholas Albert Catania. Then 3 weeks later, you hear Nicholas Albert Catania. You're going for the room. How can it be good in one context and in another context it's very, very bad? No one ever calls me that. But that's my given name. Yeah. People call me Nick, Nikki. At times they call me brother, dude, father, daddy, honey, boss, reverend. They call me other words, and it's a G-rated sermon, so I can't say them words. But nobody ever calls me Nicholas Albert Catania. Nobody. The point is that at times, people, places, and things in the Bible are called by different names, but in fact, they're talking about the same one and the same thing. Okay? Look at Revelation chapter 12, please. We noted the presence of an enemy in Genesis 3. All we have pertaining to that record from the scripture in Genesis 3 is that this enemy was a liar, he got people in trouble, and he was called by the name Serpent. Serpent. In Revelation 12 and verse 7, there's a record that says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not." Verse 8. "Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Here in Revelation, we see that the devil is referred to by different names. One of the names is dragon. Another name here is Satan. One of the names here is the old what?
Serpent.
Serpent. Serpent. In Genesis 3, the devil is referred to as the serpent. He's referred to as the serpent. So the first point I want to show you this morning is that the devil was present in the Garden of Eden, and immediately he began to lie and to deceive the woman. The devil began to cause trouble for mankind. He was in the garden. Verse 7 again, it says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. And the great dragon," verse 9, "was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." It says there was war in what? You cannot have a war unless there's a number of people or entities involved. You can't have a war. See? If it's just two, if it's just me and you, it wouldn't be considered a war. It'd be considered a fight. We have a disagreement. We have a dispute. We have a quarrel. It's not a war. Verse 7 says that Michael fought against the dragon and his angels. The dragon's angels, plural. Satan has angels, plural, that are on his side. Here we learn another truth about the serpent, about the devil. It says his angels were cast out with him. Okay? Not only was the adversary, the devil, in the Garden of Eden causing trouble for mankind, but the devil has a host of fallen angels who obey and fight at his command against God and the things of God. In the context, God and the things of God would have been Michael and his angels, the good angels. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, please. So now we see that from the beginning of time of mankind, as we know it, there was an adversary, there was an enemy, there was a devil, Satan. And how he got there, we can look at a different time, but the point was he was there. And you know where he was? He was in the garden of God. The most perfect place on the face of the earth the adversary had access to. So is it possible that he would have access to some imperfect places, like your house, your mind, your car? Do you think that your house was decorated and cleaned and in proper order like the Garden of Eden? Any of yous? And if the adversary had access there, right, what's that say about you? You always got to be on guard. You got to watch. Nobody's immune. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. 32:15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The word Jeshurun means the upright one. The word Jeshurun is a symbolic name for Israel, describing her ideal character. In other words, when Israel was at its peak, when it was at its best, when everything was flowing right for them, everything was going good, that's the word that's used to describe Israel. Everything's going great. They waxed fat. A lot of food to eat. They were growing thick. They were growing. They were blessed. But they provoked him to jealousy, verse 16, with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto what?
Devils.
They sacrificed unto devils. Not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. See? And you got a whole bunch of new gods that are coming newly up today, one after another, generation after generation. It's the same old trick that the adversary has given you. You want education? We'll make education your God. You want lust? We'll make lust your God. You want money? We'll make money your God. He just got them over and over and over again. You want your 401, your retirement? We'll make that your God. And then the day that you retired, thou fool, your life is required of thee that night. Remember that story in the gospel? Guy had so much, he said, what am I going to do with all this money? He said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just build myself a warehouse so I can keep all my money. The angel came to him at night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Now whose money are you going to give to? That's the way he works. 18 says, of the rock that begot thee, thou art what? They forgot about God. You know why? Because they were enjoying the pleasures of life. They just got sidetracked. And they got sidetracked with wealth. And they got sidetracked with lust. And they got sidetracked with the good things of life. And those things in and of themselves are not evil. But let me tell you something. When you get sidetracked by those things and they cause you to forget about God, they're very evil. Because at the end of that rainbow is not a pot of gold, I'll guarantee you. Thou art unmindful of the rock that begot thee. Thou hast forgotten God that what? Formed thee. Okay? And that's what that kind of stuff can do to you if you don't have your head screwed on right. God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to live an abundant life. But when you become prosperous and you live an abundant life at the cost of God Almighty, I can guarantee you that that increase is not from God. And I'll guarantee you there's only one other source of spiritual power in the world, and that's the devil. And if that source is being promoted and propagated in your life by a spiritual force, it's not from a good spiritual force. See? He was in the garden. The garden was perfect. Hey, Adam and Eve were sinless at that time. And he was able to work in that situation. What's that tell you about us? In an imperfect world. You know what? Even if you're a good person, you're born dead in trespasses and sin. You're born that way. That's why we need a redeemer. Look at Luke chapter 4. So we saw that the devil was in the garden. We saw that Ephesians says there's evil spirits. We saw that the people of God, the children of God, were deceived. They were sidetracked. They were pulled away from God, causing them to forget about God because they were sacrificing unto what? Devils. That's what it says, right? Unto devils. Devils. Luke 4. Watch this. 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean what?
Devil.
So now we see the word spirit is being used in the same verse as the word devil. And he said it's a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. A devil is also referred to as a spirit in times in the Bible. Okay? Satan, serpent, dragon, devil. Devils, fallen angels, spirits. Luke 9, verse 42. 9:42. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean, what?
Spirit.
It's called an unclean devil in 4:33. Here it's called an unclean spirit in 9:42. It was a spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It's a spirit, but what kind of a spirit is it? It's unclean. It's unclean. Fallen angels, Revelation 12. Luke, it's called an unclean devil. It's called an unclean spirit. As likewise, as I have a name and I'm called by different names, but it's referring to me, the devil, Satan, serpent, dragon, accuser, are all different names, but they're referred to one in the self same devil. His demons, or his fallen angels, or evil spirits, are also called by different names in the Bible. Okay, point number three. Point number four. All devil spirits, all evil spirits, all unclean spirits are unclean. That's exactly what they are. They're unclean. Unclean. The King James uses words like devil. But the Greek text in the New Testament, the word is daimonion. And the closest English equivalent to translate daimonion is the word demon. A daimonion in the Greek is a spirit being, or a devil is a spirit being. Inferior to God, superior to man, unless that man is born again with Christ in them and has a knowledge of how things work in the practical end of it. In the literal end of it, in the legal end of it, the man's still powerful, more powerful than a devil. But if that man is not educated in who he is in Christ and how to engage the enemy successfully, he will live practically in failure and torment. What did I say first? An evil spirit, a demon, is inferior to God, but superior to man. Except the exception that I gave to qualify that man. He's superior. You know what that means? That means that if a demon, an unclean spirit, is at the root, is the source of a problem, man cannot overcome that demon. He doesn't have the ability to. Not only does he not have the ability, he lacks the ability to even know that the devil exists. Now, how in the hell are you going to beat something, fight against something that you don't even know is there? You know what the answer is? You can't. You know what the manifestation of that is? You get your butt kicked. And a lot of people get their butt kicked right to the grave. Paul describes it in Corinthians as one who beateth the air. He's not as one that beateth the air. In other words, he's fighting an enemy, but he can't see what he's fighting. He's just throwing punches. Because he doesn't have an understanding of what's behind. Daimonions, or devils, are evil spirits, messengers. They're the ministers of the devil, and the Greek for the devil is diabolos. They are his ministers. They work for him. In other translations of the Bible, the American Standard, the Darby, the English Standard, the New American, the NIV, New International, even the New King James Version, the New Living, the New Revised, the Revised Standard, Webster's, all of these translate the word daimonion with the English word demon. It's a demon. So if I use the word demon, I want you to know what I'm talking about. It's a devil spirit, an evil spirit, an unclean spirit. It's a demon. They're all the same. You understand? So what have we seen so far? Because I can't tell you everything. You got to come back. So I can show you, so I can expose to you who they are. I can expose to you how they work. Then I can show you who you are. And I can show you how to engage them and how to beat them in your life and in the lives of your loved ones and your friends and family. Okay? Now, if the shoe fits, fine. Everything in life, your life is perfect, fine. And before you're so soon to label me as a lunatic or a devil preacher or a devilish sermon, I'd ask you to consider what I'm saying. Because if you have not been able to get on top of a situation in your life, and it's reoccurring, and it's tormenting, and it's stealing your peace and your life and your finances, then perhaps you haven't been able to identify the source of the problem. And remember, I love dandelions. I always tell you about dandelions. You cut a dandelion will come back with vengeance. And there'll be two dandelions there next week. And you keep cutting dandelions and you see what happens. It's just like pruning the damn things. They thrive on it. It's the only effective way to deal with a dandelion is to get it out by the what? That's why you have to learn how to identify the root cause of your problem. Because if you just cut what's above the surface, the problems that sprout up, well, I'll go over here, and one's going to sprout up over there. And you'll just be chasing fires all your life. Listen, it's better to catch the arson than to put fires out all your life. Remember I taught you about the spider web? You walk down every morning, you go like this. Next morning you walk down, you go like this. You do that for all your life. Did it ever occur to you to kill the spider? Then you don't have the problem no more, right? See, people are dealing with the manifestation of it. People are dealing with the problems. You got to learn to deal with the cause. You got to learn to find the root, identify it, deal with that. And if the cause is spiritual, then you have to deal with it in a spiritual way. So we've seen that the devil was present in the Garden of Eden, and we saw that immediately he began to lie and deceive the woman and cause trouble for mankind. And I will tell you this with all the certainty and authority of God himself, that the devil is still causing trouble for mankind. And will do so clear through our life, if the Lord should tarry, into the next administrations until he's thrown into the pit. He has an end, okay? He's going to pay for what he's doing, but up until then, he has the reign and the authority to do so. Number two, we saw that the devil has a host of fallen angels who obey and fight at his command against God and the things of God. Number three, we saw that fallen angels, like the devil, are also called by different names in the Bible. They are referred to by different names. Some of the names that a demon is referred to identifies their function. Some of the names that a demon is referred to identifies their position. Some of the names that a demon is referred to identifies what area that they function in. But they're called by different names in the Bible. They're called evil, unclean, foul, lying, familiar, seducing, jealous, haughty, proud, angry, fear, perverse, whoredom, dumb, death, infirmity, divination, antichrist, error, etc., etc. Specifically, in the Bible, when the word spirit is used in the context of a demon, those words are used associated with them. And those words teach you about that spirit. Number four, all devils are unclean. Number five, a devil or an evil spirit is also known by the name of a demon in different translations of the Bible. And as we continue to look at this subject of the reality of demons, we'll expose them from the Bible. And my plan is not only to expose them from the Bible, but to teach you who you are and how you can defeat them in your life, so that finally, maybe for the first time in your life, you can get a chance at living a life the way God wants you to live. Because I'm going to teach you to identify the root, the cause. And if in fact this is a root or this is a cause in your life, once you're equipped with this information, you're going to be able to root it out and live the way God wants you to live. Okay? Father, thanks for your word. Thank you that we can be humble and meek to that word. And thank you, Father, that you've given us information. You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And you expect us to utilize the power and authority that you've given us. I ask that you bless each person in this room. And I ask also, Father, that they don't start going crazy. You know, the devil's not in everything, Father. They don't start going on demon hunts and all this other stuff. But they do consider the reality of him and the possibility that he is at work. Thank you that we can look at this subject in a balanced, approached way, a biblical way, Father. Not discounting it just because we hear the word devil, but being open to your word, Father, because you have given us this information for our own benefits. And we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have refreshments in the back. We have fellowship at Jimmy's house, 7:30 on Thursday and again on Sunday. And we'll continue to learn more about this subject and how we can apply it practically to our lives. Okay. Listen, if anybody has something going on with them, that they have a sickness or they need to be ministered to for anything, you get a hold of somebody in this room, they'd be glad to help you out and minister to you, all right? God bless you.
Thank you.
Yep.